Today's daf in Masechet Yevamot, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, is daf Nun Beit, and we're holding right at the last few words on Nun Aleph Amud Beit. So, we had very strange language in the Mishnah. Let's try to figure what our Mishnah is talking about. As we pointed out, the Mishnah is extremely confusing when you smush it all together the way we did, and one of the most confusing parts of it is this word ketzad, because, I mean, the words prior to ketzad was the machlokas, basically, between Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim. If yesh ma'amar achar ma'amar, or in ma'amar achar ma'amar. So, when we came along and we said ketzad, what was the expectation created by ketzad? Explain to me what you mean about a case of get achar get, or ma'amar achar ma'amar, right? Says the Gemara, well, what the world is this ketzad? How is this ketzad illustrating a case of get acher get when it starts talking about the idea of get acher ma'amar and ma'amar acher get? What, this is what you call a get acher get, which is what you raised our expectations to hear? I get acher getu? I'm reviewed and no. You need to understand. There's two different issues. The Mishnah is going through a spreadsheet. Yes, but the Mishnah is also going through that spreadsheet in many different ways, right? So in other words, it starts off with discussing what the din is when you have one Yavam and one Yavama. And then it goes on to talk about what happens if you would have two Yavams. And then it goes on to talk about what happens if you have multiple Yavams and multiple Yavamot. The ketzad is a reference to which spreadsheet you're on. Don't you understand? So the same way that when you've got your Excel sheet there, you could switch by choosing another tab, you could switch the tab to an equivalent sheet but talking about something else. That's the ketzad. The ketzad is the tab. And the cases, the four cases, which we talk about in each one of these tabs, is within a different context. That's the way the Mishnah is really constructed, which is brilliant. So therefore, says Rav Yehuda, Achi Ka'amar, we have discussed this idea of get achi get, maimer achi maimer. If you want the details, either work it out yourself or go read it in the Braisa. The Mishnah is not interested in that. The Mishnah wants to tab on. Okay, so here's how it's tabbing. The case of Yavam Echa and Yavama Achas that you raised, we didn't exactly explain how it is that the interrelated ways of making an Isser or a Kinyan of sorts, or creating an Isser on the wives or the relatives of these semi-wives, we didn't explain what is necessary in order to continue. That's what we need to do first before we move on to our next step, okay? So in the case of Yavam Echad, Yavama Achas, Ketzad means Ketzad Hatarata. So how do we untie these things from each other? Because, like, this is very complex. Okay, so here we start going through our spreadsheet on the first tab. Osa ma'amar b'yavimto, v'natan ma'get, tzricha menechalitza, etc., etc., etc. Okay, we're going to have all of the different cases all along. Fine. Now that we understand the structure of the Mishnah, I want to talk about the Mishnah's strange statement. Yes, it sounded very simple. Asa ma'amaru ba'al. Okay, great. I mean, we said, wow, that was the little box that we put in this little beating heart in. Of course, you can't print the beating heart yet, but on your screen, you got this beating heart right there. Great. A wonderful love affair. You did ma'amar, and then you went ahead and did yibum. That's exactly what you were supposed to do. Now, what do you mean when you say it's exactly what you're supposed to do? Because I'm not sure about that. I mean, I know that that's exactly the sheet of Rav Huna. Lema misayeya leila Rav Huna. Apparently, the Mishnah spreadsheet is a real riot to Rav Huna, because Rav Huna said that the mitzvat yivama mekadesh v'achar kach boel. The correct mitzvah is to first give kiddushin, which of course is ma'amar in the context of yibum, and only then to be boel. So, I guess that's what it means over here. Once, because there's different ways of looking at this ma'amar. In other words, what Rav Huna is saying is that ma'amar besides the question of what problems it creates because of the gzeiros, as we've seen, there's also the issue of, does it work as a takana in which you bedafka want to do things this way? Well, that's what Rav Huna is saying, that ma'amar is fundamentally a takana, then it's got these other issues attached to it. But in order to have a kinder, gentler yibum, so what we do is we created ma'amar. But that's not so simple. And the question is, we'll see what the alternatives are, but the question is whether, is that what our Mishnah is saying? That that is the mitzvah, so then it's true what Rav Huna said. Says the Gemara, well, look, it may be, but you can't prove it from here, because the words zuke mitzvata could mean even a case like this, where you do ma'amar first, is a perfectly kosher yibum, and it is also the full mitzvah of yibum. Maybe that's all that it means. I don't understand, says the Gemara. Why are we talking about that? I mean, isn't it obvious? I mean, how could you possibly make things worse if you went ahead and you gave Kiddushin? How do you make things worse? Well, I'll tell you very simply. Look, remember that we had before the question about whether once you make ma'amar, do you also move the context of the yibum into a kinder, gentler context, namely that you would need mesira lechupa. Remember that question? And that was indeed one of the shitas that we paskin, that we mentioned before, is that once you enter into this new context of ma'amar, then you've got to keep going that way. And therefore, let's say this ma'amar wife says, I've changed my mind, I don't want to sleep with you. Well, normally in the case of yibum, she doesn't have a right to say whether she wants to sleep with you or she doesn't want to sleep to you. This is the mitzvah, and the Torah gave you the right to be ba'alah ba'al korcha. But if you're being kinder and gentler, now can you still rape her? I mean, that doesn't seem so kind and gentle. I mean, doesn't it sort of seem to be a contradiction? So therefore, I would have said like this, that since we had the shita earlier, that once you do ma'amar, the Rabbanan create a situation in which the zika that is there is no longer viewed as a zika of yabmin. It's viewed as the normal zika of erisin. Erisin creates a relationship which is mechayev, either going to the chuppah or giving a get, right? So I would say, therefore, since there's a shita that says now you need to actually go to the chuppah, then maybe that is not the correct mitzvah. Because if you go ahead and you did ma'amar, and then you sleep with her, so then that means that what you're doing is a normal marriage. But that's not what the Torah wanted you to do a normal marriage. The Torah wanted to make it very clear that this is a special and unique situation in which the Torah has given you this woman who is meant to be yours, come hell or high water, whether you like it or not, you're going to have to relate to this woman on one level, and you're turning it into this modern Orthodox idea of, yes, I don't feel comfortable with doing yibum. So therefore, we create this new concept of pretend that a yavama is a normal wife. I don't like to pretend. That's gufa, the issue. By the way, this has really profound implications in terms of relationships overall, particularly bizman hazeh. So what we like to do and what we have created is a new type of marital relationship, which has emerged over the past 70 years. And that new type of marital relationship is we're equal partners. And being equal partners, I discuss everything with my wife, and I talk to her about it. Now, I am absolutely committed to move to Eretz Yisrael, let's say, right? So I talk to my wife about moving to Eretz Yisrael. Now, the truth is, la halacha, I make the determination, and I can force her to move to Eretz Yisrael. Truth is, she can force me to, but okay, it's not a very good example. But I pretend that I'm talking to her. What happens because of that pretense is that in the end, she actually becomes a full partner, which is what happens over here. You're pretending to give her Kedushin. Oh, now all of a sudden she could say, well, I don't want to sleep with you. Wait a minute. The terrorist said, I'm going to rape you. Yeah, but we're finished with that. We've created a whole new idea of marriage over here. You can't turn your back on that and suddenly say, I was only pretending. That's horrifying. That turns you into a monster. So note the implication of the Gemara to that entire issue. Are these type of ersatz relationships, because of the way that they actually change the nature of marriage, the equivalent of the Gemara's concern for changing the nature of Yibum? And therefore, the reason why we would not have thought that this is kimitzvasa is because the Torah doesn't want you to change the nature of Yibum. It doesn't like the idea of a kinder, gentler Yibum, because then you're taking away the entire idea. It now appears to be, you know, some comfortable kind of thing of a sweet concern for a memory of your brother, blah, 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 so that you'd be the equivalent of lighting a yahrzeit licht, you know, for your brother. I mean, that's terrible. So therefore, I might have thought that if that's the case, it's the wrong way to do the mitzvah. Therefore, kamash malan, that it's okay to do the mitzvah. But it doesn't mean it's a preferable way to do the mitzvah, which is what Ravuna is saying. So it turns out that the question over here is really a profound issue that has to do with relationship overall. Gufa. Let's take a look more closely at Ravuna. Om Ravuna. Mitzvat yevamim mikadesh v'achar kach bo'el. That's the mitzvah. First you give kiddushin, which is this special kiddushin called ma'amar, and then you go ahead and you're Boel. But, im ba'al v'asa ma'amar, let's say if you first do the be'ila, and then you do ma'amar, nonetheless you were kaina. Well, what? Well, wait a minute, what the heck are you talking about? What do you mean, if you were ba'al and then did ma'amar? There's no meaning to the ma'amar, I understand what you're saying. Pshita, I mean, you did a regular yibum. I don't care what you do afterwards. You want to pretend afterwards. I mean, that's your business, but it's pure pretense. She's already your wife. You can't go ahead and do ma'amar. How can you be? I mean, what would be the problem over here? The ma'amar is completely meaningless. And you want to say, you want to do yibum, you know, and then you want to be nice by taking her out to a restaurant. Go right ahead. I don't care what you do afterwards, as long as you did the yibum correctly. So what would that mean? No, sorry. Yeah, you're right. We got it wrong. Ela ema. Im ba'al lo ma'amar kana. You would be kona, even if it was without a ma'amar. Now, here we have a strange gemara. Va'atanya. It says over in the Braita that you get malchus if you didn't do ma'amar. So Rashi understands this to mean you get malchus because apparently this shita holds that the ma'amar makes a difference d'oraisa, because the word loke means malchus arboim. And malchus arboim is d'oraisa. So how could you get malchus arboim? It must mean because you slept with your brother's wife and there wasn't a context of yibum. And without the context of yibum, your brother's wife is asura. So how did you go sleep with your brother's wife? So apparently the context of Kiddushin is what creates the heter to sleep with your brother's wife. Now, this is Rashi's strange approach, that somehow or other ma'amar got into the nature of the relationship itself. Tosfos obviously says, well, that's crazy. I mean, how in the world did we start thinking that it's a malchus d'oraisa? That doesn't make any sense. I mean, the point over here is that we understood that you get malchus, meaning mid-rabbanan, because the rabbanan turned it into the equivalent of sleeping with a brother's wife, be'isr. And that therefore, if they said that, so then maybe mid-rabbanan, you wouldn't even be kaina, and you would be mechuyev to go back and go ahead and do mimer, and then, you know, once again, be miyabe, maybe. That's how Tosfos understands it. Then there's other pirushim as well that make suggestions over here, but nobody seems to like Rashi's approach at all, because, I mean, it is a little bit strange to say that there is a way that that there would be a D'oraisa, and that was our Havamina because of the D'oraisa. So I don't know whether whether it's kedai for us to continue going through the other pshatim. Let's just take the Rashi does his approach over here. So the difference, of course, would be how do we read the next words? According to Rashi, the teretz is that when it said loke, it didn't mean D'oraisa. It meant Malkus Mardus Midrabbanan. It means you get Malkus Midrabbanan. According to Tosfos, we always knew it was Midrabbanan. And the reason that it says Malkus Mardus Midrabbanan is because it's coming to introduce what it is you got the Malkus for. As we're about to see, that anybody who acts in a way that is inappropriate and insensitive to the nature of intimacy, and therefore reduces the kedusha of intimacy, which of course is all part of this week's parsha for those of us in Eretz Yisrael, and part of the upcoming parshas, which we're going to have to start thinking about, even if you're in Chutz La'aretz. So you better get used to the idea. So, but anyway, the question over here would be that there is a general takana. The general takana is don't sleep with women without doing something in advance to make that a special relationship of intimacy. So that has nothing to do with this particular idea of being Mekayim the mitzvah of Yibum with Makas. And therefore, what does it mean? What is the Makas Mardas that we're talking about? Because Rav used to give Makas Mardas on anybody who would utilize Bia as the source of the kiddush. So even though a isha nikneis b'shlosha drachim, one of which is bia, and therefore if you want to sleep with a woman, there's nothing wrong, b'diraisa, with saying, let's sleep together and make it permanent. Great, okay, fine. But Rav said, if you do that, I'm going to give you malchus, because it's not nice. Because people often just go to bed together and it doesn't really mean anything. So therefore, you should create a context of kedushin first, utilizing kesef or shtar, and then it's much more appropriate to be sleeping with her as an act of kedusha. Fine, okay. That's all that it means over here. And that would mean that we want you to go ahead and to not be parutz. That's the point. And Rav also, I mean, even if somebody was Makadish, look at this, guys. I mean, if you want to take a look at the difference in sensitivities between Kedashim to you and the society that we have of Esav, right? How do we go around today? Well, the more you can make things parut, the better. If you can hire a little airplane that has a sign on it that carries around, Jill, I love you, will you be my wife? Wow, what love, right? That's exactly what Rav used to give people malchus for. Forget about the airplane. If you stop in the middle of a park and you present your dear wife with a ring and you've got Adam in the park and you say, Areat Mekudeshetli, pow, comes Rav and beats you up. What a lack of sensitivity to intimacy and how important it is. You slob. Amazing, right? Mamish, amazing difference. Incredible thing. Okay, so the more private and the more intimate your love is, the deeper it is. And the more parutz and public you make it, the less intimate it is. So therefore, Rav would beat people up even for giving kedushin, if they give kedushin in the wrong place. And the other thing he used to do was, even if you give a woman kedushin as a surprise, I mean, what happened to discussing shiduchim first? No? You just walk over to a girl, hello. Do you know that I'm the one who loves you so? And you give her the ring, you would also get beaten up. What happened? What do you mean? How come it was never discussed before and so on? So therefore, the Rav would, on any level of the violation of intimacy, other things that Rav would just beat people up for, this is Makas Mardus Min Rabbanan, if someone is Mevatel a get, so he gives a get to a shliach, And then before the shliach gets there, he changes his mind and he cancels the get. Oh my God, what a disaster that is. Then the woman thinks she's divorced. She goes ahead and marries the one that she's always waited for. George, you can't believe it. I just got a get. Come on over. Oh my gosh. So if this is the case, then he ends up being machshil her, thinking that there's a get. So he used to beat people up for doing that. And someone who's meiser, meida, and a get. Now, this is talking about where Beis Din forces a person to give a get. Part of forcing the person to give a get is that he has to also sign that any moda'a that I gave in advance canceling this get is hereby canceled, right? So we're always like one step ahead of him. But if nonetheless he gives a moda'a on the get, which won't work, but it still casts aspersions on the get, and casting aspersions on a get is terrible because then people talk, you know, and that can affect the children and, oh, look, you know, whatever. So he used to give malchus for that as well. And somebody has chutzpah on a shlicha d'rabbanan, and he fights with the shlicha Beis Din or of the Talmud Chacham. Uman d'shoi shamte d'rabbanan le'tlatin yume v'lati l'veidina v'tova l'shmaite l'shamte a guy who left a cherem on him, or a nidui on him, for 30 days, and he didn't come in to try to change what the problem was and address it. And on a chatan, on a son-in-law, who lives in the same house as his in-laws. What? Only if he lives in the same house? What if he just walks by the door? We know there was a story of Ahuda Cholef Ababa de Mechamua. There was this guy who walked by his mother-in-law's house, and Rav Sheshes beat him up. Yeah, but that's because there were terrible rumors about him and his mother-in-law having this thing together. So therefore, we didn't want him passing in front of her house. But here, it's only if you actually live in the same house as a mother-in-law. Halacha l'maaseh, we're even matir that in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, as long as they gave you a special bedroom. So over there, we view it as not being pritzut. Okay, anyway, so, but this is what it meant when it was talking about malchus. It has nothing to do with this problem. Nardai, I mean, the Nardai says, it's not true. Rav didn't used to beat people up so randomly like this. The only one that he would beat you up for is if you were mekadesh with Bia without even discussing it before. Or some say even if you did discuss it before, but still you can't be mekadesh with Bia because of pritzus. Tana Rabbana.
Yeah. I'm concerned about the time it takes to have the geshmak in the sugya and where we're holding on the daf vis-a-vis the time, which is space for consideration.
Barnea, we started the daf on the beginning of Amud Beis, so thank you, but we're well aware of where we're at. Okay. Continue, Zigmar. Turn her up on it. Ketzad ma'amar. So how exactly do we achieve ma'amar? Well, what do you mean? The way we do a normal kedusha, no? I mean, we go ahead and we give the woman kesev or b'shava kesev. Okay, and what about b'shtar? What, I understand. What are you asking? What about b'shtar? I mean, if we're using a normal kedusha as the way that we do it for mamar, so then just continue the mishnah in kedusha. Katavla ala niyar ala cheres areyat mekudeshet li. And this is afapish in b'shava pruta reyat mekudeshet. So why wouldn't that be true of ma'amar? It's basically what the Breitzer was trying to say is that it's an act of kedushin. Omer Abaya, that's not what it was asking. Bishtar meant, how do I write a ketuvah that is given to a yavama? Because, I mean, there is a difference in the ketuvah, is there not? Namely, that the collection of the ketuvah is all from the first brother, kedushin. And we don't have a new ketuvah that is on the property of the second brother. So here's the question. How do I write that? So this is what you write. Kotevla, ana ploni bar ploni, kabilet yad plonit yevimti alai. I have accepted my yevama with the responsibility, lazun, ulefar nesakara ui, as if she were my normal wife, with one difference. Bevachite ketuvata al nechse ba'ala harishon. And the truth is that if there was no property that the first husband left, which would allow her to collect for a ketuvah, then takina l'rabbanan misheni. We have a different issue of a ketuvah. A ketuvah is you cannot have intimate relations with a woman that are casual. What makes them casual? What do you think, just standing in front of the church altars makes them non-casual? No. What makes them non-casual is that it costs to get rid of her. And therefore, the ketuvah, takina l'rabbanan rabbi sheni, if there's no money to the first brother, then the second brother is going to have to put up in order to allow the relationship to continue. Now, here is a fascinating question. This getter of a get, there are problems in getting it also, which may impact the question of whether this is a get that can be given to a yavama, either after Yibum or in advance of Yibum, to ruin the Yibum. There's different ways of understanding the sugya. So first we had this question, Bichlal. Suppose you give a get. This is a Yavam. Gives his Yavama a get. And he says, Hareat Megureshet Hemeni, but Iat Muteret L'chol Adam. Now, that is true, right? I mean, in any event, isn't it correct to say that if you give a get to a Yavama, you're certainly not going to be matir her to others because she would be a Yavama L'shuk, and she still needs Chalitza. So this is a very intelligent guy. In other words, no matter that he's giving a get for no purpose, to him, the purpose of giving the get is to make it very clear that, look, I have no intention of taking you as a Yavama, but don't think that you're muteret l'chol adam. So now the problem is like this. If you would write a get with that language to a regular woman, it would be a worthless scrap of paper. Because a get cannot say, but you are not muteret l'chol adam. That's the reason I'm giving you the get, is hareat muteret l'chol adam, right? But in the context of Yibum, now we just found out that there's elements of Maimer in the context of Yibum that are different than the normal context of Kedushin. What about the getter of a get for Yavama in the context of Yibum, where these words make sense? So the question is like this. The whole idea of a get given to a Yavama is, of course, only a drabbana. As far as the Torah is concerned, any get that you give to a Yavama is a scrap of paper, right? So the issue is over here. So I want to know, of a get, the gezeira that the Rabbana made of a get, is it that a get that would have been a get in a normal marriage creates problems of pretense marriage in the Yavama, and therefore you become asura to the relatives of whatever Yavama you gave a get to? But that's only if it was a good get that would have worked if she was an Eishes Ish. So a get to Mahani Be'Eishes Ish is Mahani Mi Yavama. But a get that doesn't work for an Eishes Ish is not going to work for Yavama either. Or maybe the whole idea is that since people are going to confuse this, and they're going to confuse the get with chalitza, as the gezeira was, if we allow the get to be not to be meaningful, they'll think the chalitza wasn't meaningful. Okay, fine. So then that people get confused with anything. I mean, it looks like a scrap of paper to you because you're a Talmud Chacham. So Rabbah says that there's a question about this girsa, but apparently this is the correct girsa according to the Marshal. And Chayshina Dima Silich Lufi Begita. We're afraid that people will get confused. Matkiv L'Rabba Bar Chanan, if you're confused, then suppose you take a blank piece of paper, right? And you say, here is your get. So, I mean, because what this is a blank piece of paper. Technically speaking, a get that says, this is your get, but you're a surah to all people, is a blank piece of paper. You're telling me, well, people might get confused. Well, they might get confused with a blank piece of paper. Hello, here's your get. It looks all fancy, and it's got stamps on it and everything. Wow, the guy gave her a get. Are you trying to tell me that you're going to passel this woman, then you're not allowed to do Yibum because you gave her a blank piece of paper? Omar Lay. So Abaya said, no. A blank piece of paper will not be a reach haget to passel a woman from a kohen. But here, the get that we're talking about does passel her from a kohen, and that's called a reach haget. And not only that, it seems to be a deoraita, because it says in the braita, how do we understand the pasuk when it's talking about kohanim? It says, isha grusha me isha lo yikachu. A kohen is not allowed to marry a woman who is divorced from her husband. Can you explain to me what you mean by a woman who is divorced from her husband? as opposed to what? Divorced from her lover? I just, what are you talking about? What are these extra words? A woman divorced from her husband? Well, obviously, who else could she divorce from? Ah, so it must be coming to tell me that even if the woman is only divorced from her husband and not from anyone else, exactly this case. Afilu lo nidgarsha ela mi isha. He wrote, I am divorced, so you never want to see your stinking face again. But you're not allowed to marry anybody else. Okay, so she's only divorced from her husband. You're saying it's a blank piece of paper, but the Torah says that an isha, afilu lo nidgarsha ela mi isha, lo yikachu. And this is what we call a reach haget, which is mashma here, that it's even a deoraisa, even though the Rambam says beferish, that it only means this as an esmachta, it's not really a deoraisa. But in any event, it's a baya. If it's a reach haget, that's what I'm asking, will it also possibly a vama? But not if it's a blank piece of paper, which doesn't even create a reach haget. Omar Rami Bar Choma, look. There's a din that if you say, I have another question about a get. There's a din that if you tell a sofer, look, I gave Arison, I gave a ring to this woman, and I don't really want to stick with her, you know, but heck, we already sent out the invitations, everybody's coming to the marriage, and I'm going to have to go to the chuppah. But man, I want to give her this divorce the minute after, okay? So could you please write me out the divorce now for me to give to my wife, for me to give to my wife the moment that I take her to the chuppah. So is that a good get or not? Yes, it is a good get. Why is it a good get? Because if you want, you could give a get to your arusa, obviously. You don't have to wait till you take her to the chuppah. Now, even though if you take her to the chuppah, it might be called a get yashan, according to Rashi, because you're misyached. Nonetheless, if you use a get yashan, it'll be kosher. That's how Rashi understands the question. Tosfos says a get yashan is only if it has a date prior to the chuppah. But here you're telling him to date it afterwards. Okay, but again, this is not our issue, get yashan. What's important for us is I want to know, in the context of yibum, what would be the din. If you take a regular woman who's walking around the street and you say, listen, I'm going to have to marry that woman because I need to get a U.S. citizenship, and you can't get a citizenship unless you go through with the marriage. So I'm going to have to marry this woman, but I don't want her to be my wife, and therefore write a get for her, which I'll give her right after marrying her. That for sure is not a get, because you did not have any connection to her at this moment that would have allowed you to write a get. Tosfos says this is all going according to the Shita, then Ein Adam Makneh Davar Shelo Ba Leolam. So you don't have the keich of that kinyan, and therefore you can't ruse a get. I want to know, says Rami Bar Choma, I want to know what the din is of a get like this for your yevama. So you have a get that is written up, and then you're going to use this get for your yevama after you take her. I understand that it's not the same as an arusa, but in a way it is, because Zika will prevent her from marrying anyone else because of you. So in that sense, she's like an arusa, because she is a surah al-kola ilam. And therefore, we should view this as the equivalent of a get given to an arusa. And therefore, afterwards, you should be able to use it for the yevama. So here's my question, says Rabbi Bar Choma. Since Zika has made her connected to him, it's as if she's an arusa. And therefore, she's not allowed to marry anybody else. So if you write the get, you're writing it lishma. And it would be a kosher get. Or do we say, kivan delo avad ba ma'amar, since you didn't do ma'amar, so then the get doesn't have any meaning. Now, this is an absolutely nutty comment. There's something wrong with this gemara, because there are no comparisons between the side A and side B. Side A was talking about whether it has a din of a get midiraisa. Side B suddenly inserts a whole different issue, which is, did you make a mimer, and is it a get for the mimer? Can you use a get for the mimer for the yevama? What the heck? Ma'amar is irrelevant to the conscience of the get that we're talking about on the level of writing a get lishma for an arusa. What in the world does this have to do with anything? And therefore, the most of the Rishonim do not view this as a typical either or. They view it as a multi-leveled question. That's the point. So Rami Bar Chama is saying, I got a question. Could this get be a get for Yavama because of the Zika? That's a possibility. Now, if that is not by you considered to be a real get, okay, then how about using a get like this in advance of a mamar? So then I could use it after the mamar to be mavato the mamar. Maybe that much is good because then the mamar does relate to the original Zika. So maybe that would be good. Or obviously, there might be another problem. Since it would have been written as a get, which might have been kosher for mamar, maybe that makes it more than a blank piece of paper, and it's considered to be a reach haget for a kohen. All of these issues are discussed. I put all of the shittas together to tell you the options. But if you read the Gemara as multiple questions that Rami Bar Chama is raising, then it doesn't seem so weird. In any event, teiku. Now, Rabbi Chanina says, I got another problem. Once we're dealing with the Gittin issue and how Gittin affect Yibum, I have another problem. Suppose, and we had this discussion earlier, if somebody gives Ma'amar, then he needs a get for the Ma'amar. We've been discussing this all along, right? In addition to the impact that the get would have on the Ma'amar, there was also this other halacha that we were gozer, that the get also will asser you and the other brothers from doing an actual yibum. Now, the question is this. There's two different issues of the get. I mean, a get that was given in order to remove Ma'amar is not the same thing as a get that is given to a Yavama and pretends to be removing the Zika of the Yavama. We already saw that difference way, way early in the Masechet when we raised the question of a get for Ma'amar, but not for Zika. Well, here's at last the point that I want to discuss this openly, says Rabbi Chananya. Because suppose somebody says, okay, this is a get for your Zika Midiraisa, but it's not meant to dissolve our dear Kiddushin that I gave you with Ma'amar. So is that considered to be a get? And it would be the same as the get for the Ma'amar? And what about vice versa? Suppose I say, here's a get for my Ma'amar, but I don't want it to affect the Zika at all, and therefore certainly the other brothers, it's a big question, why not him himself, but certainly the other brothers should be able to give you a Yibum because I basically took off the Ma'amar and I don't want it to affect the Zika. I mean, is there such a concept? Now, the difference would be, here's my question. And this question takes us back to how Ma'amar works, and it opens up an additional issue. Is Ma'amar itself built upon Zika? So in other words, what the Rabbanan are saying is, where the Zika exists, it is possible to turn that Zika into a marriage by doing Ma'amar. But you can't walk over to a Yavama and pretend to be doing a normal Kiddushin to a Yavama, because she's not available for normal Kiddushin, not to anybody. So forget about that, right? So if that's the case, then Ma'amar presents an additional level of super Zika. And that's what Ma'amar really is. It's a strengthening of Zika Midrabana. That would be one way of viewing Ma'amar, but that would mean that Ma'amar is, by definition, Iluya de Zika Karamit. It's an addition to the Zika, and therefore, it's as if you're trying to be Megarish half of your wife. Because over here, you've got two things in this lady. You've got a Ma'amar, and you've got a Zika. And what you want to do is, you want to take off half of that relationship. That's like trying to divorce half of your wife. You can't divorce half of a wife, because there's always going to be something else that's left. And therefore, if you try to address the Ma'amar separately, or you try to address the Zika separately, then there's no such concept as a half of a get to a half of a wife. So that would be one way of looking at it. Or, says Rabbi Chananya, I could look at it as being totally unrelated. The Zika is a relationship that the Torah created, and the Ma'amar is a sort of condition that the Rabbanan created, but it doesn't require Zika in order for it to work. It's just a type of condition. Normal condition doesn't require any other Zika. Wait a minute. Don't we know the answer to that question? because we had this already. We discussed this question before. Back at the Vlamid Beis, we discussed this question. Rava said over there, and he should, Reb Chananya should have learned it out of what Rava said. Rava said, we had the case, remember we had this unbelievable concept of Eshet Shnei Metim. So it says in the Pasuk, Umeit Echad Mehem. One brother dies, but if that woman is married to both brothers, then you can't do Yibam. We said, what? What is the case of married to both brothers? So the case over there was that we had three brothers, no sisters, nothing to do with sisters, three brothers, Reuven dies, and Shimon goes ahead, and he does Ma'amar, and then he dies. Oh my gosh. So now Levi has got a woman that is falling to him, both from Reuven, that was the Diraisa, and now because Shimon made Ma'amar, she's also falling from Shimon. Right? So that was the crazy case over there. And Rava said that if the one who did the Ma'amar, Shimon, before he died, he gave a get to his Yavama only for the Ma'amar. He said, I want to remove the Ma'amar, but I don't want it to affect the Zika. So therefore, it shouldn't affect Levi. But it takes off the Ma'amar from Shimon. So then the original wife that was married to Shimon is certainly allowed to be the Yavama of Levi. Levi can marry both Shimon's wife, his original wife that he had for 30 years before he died, and Reuven's wife, whom Shimon had given Ma'amar to for 2 days before he died after giving her a get for that. Rava says you can remove just the Ma'amar with a get and not have it impact the Zika. There's your answer, Rabbi Chananya. So you see clearly that Rava holds you can give a get for Ma'amar, not for Zika. Says the Gemara, well, yes. But that's not what Rabbi Chananya wanted to know. I don't want to know what some Gadol B'Torah said. I want to know what the Braisa says, what a Mishnah says. Don't bring Raya from Rava. To Rava, it was clear, and to me, it's not clear, okay? So Rabbi Chananya mi boile. Do you have a Raya? No, sorry, take you. Thank you. That's all that I was asking. So this would be the point. Now, very important, Nakuda, if you'll just give me until 9. Very important, Nakuda, is that then the Mishnah says, if you did chalitza, and then you do ma'amar, ein achar chalitza klum, right? Why? Why? Because the moment that you gave chalitza, you created an iser d'oraisa. What's the iser d'oraisa? Kivan shelo bana shuv lo yivneh. So, therefore what? I could still go and do ma'amar, meaning give a kedushin, and then I create problems. Because Kedushin would still be Chal, even though it's an Isser Lav, it's not an Isser Kores. Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, obviously the Mishnah only works out according to Rabbi Akiva. Since Rabbi Akiva holds that Ein Kedushin Toivshin B'chayvei Lavim, so therefore, there's nothing you can do once there is the Isser of Kivan Shelo Bana, Shuv Lo Yivneh. But if you hold like the Chachomim who argue on Rabbi Akiva, and they say, as we hold, Kedushin is Tovshin B'chayvei Lavim, then the whole Mishnah falls apart. Because it's, what are you doing over there, Shmuel? Because it is not a case of an Acharei HaKlum. Because if I walk over and I give her Kedushin, I'm creating problems. Because now I made a Kedushin, I'm going to have to give her a get. And therefore, according to the Chachamim, Yesh Achar Chalitza Klum. And the Mishnah only works out according to Rabbi Akiva. But wait! It can't work out according to Rabbi Akiva for another reason. Because the Mishnah said before that if you gave her a get and then you do ma'amar, you need both get and chalitza. You need the get for the ma'amar, and of course you still need to address the yibum with the chalitza. The problem is, if you're trying to make it work out according to Rabbi Akiva, it doesn't. Why not? Because according to Rabbi Akiva, once you gave her a get, the ma'amar made no difference, and you would not need to have the separate din of the get for the ma'amar. And I'll tell you where I know that. It's a Beferish Abraita, Rabbi Akiva Omer. How do we know that a noten get liyavimto? The moment that you give a get to your yavama, that she becomes asura forever. Because it says, lo yuchal ba'ala harishon asher shilcha. Her first husband, who divorced her, is not allowed to remarry her. This is talking about remarrying a divorcee after she slept with someone else. The problem is that the pasuk doesn't say that. It says he can't take her back. Asher shilcha. What do you mean, Asher shilcha? Well, obviously, who gave her the get if it wasn't her husband? Darn it, why do you need to say that? Must be that there's two different dinim of divorcees. One is a regular case of a divorcee who now is only going to be asura achareya sherhu tama'a, after she sleeps with another guy. But the pasuk is being merames that there is a case where just the shiluach itself, the giving of the get, will forever prohibit a remarriage. Where would that be? I mean, where is that? That must be that divorce all on its own is an iser lav to a yevama. And a yevam cannot marry a yevama that he gave a get to. In which case, according to Rabbi Akiva, there's a lav. And if there's a lav, kedushin isn't types him. So therefore, there can't be any mamar. So how could the Mishnah be going like Rabbi Akiva? Ravashi, that's obviously only a drabbanan. And the pasuk is an esmachta bialma, and it certainly has to be, it's not like Rabbi Akiva, that the Mishnah is only like Rabbi Akiva, and there's no real lav according to Rabbi Akiva. Tanya nami achi. Omar, Rabbi, ena dvarim alalo amorim, ela ladivi Rabbi Akiva. The whole Mishnah is only Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva says that a chalutza has a din at this point of an erva. Because of lo yuchal, he's not a lot, sorry, because of kivan shelo bana, shuv eino boneh, avokachomim omrim, yesh hachalitza klum. And personally, says Rebbe, I have my own opinion about this matter, and I say, vani omer, says Rebbe, when do we say that kedushin with a chalutza is a real kedushin? That it depends. If you are Mekadosher as a normal woman, yes, then it, in fact, since I hold that Kedushin is Chal, so then it's going to work and there's no problem because you made a normal Kedushin. But if you say to her that I am giving you Kedushin as Mamar for Yavama, because you think that even though you gave her Chalitza, all the Chalitza managed to do was being Mater to marry other people, but did not answer her on you, and therefore you think she's still your Yavama, that's not a meaningful act at all, says Rebbe. And if you say, I'm giving you Mamar, and I'm not giving you Kedushin, it's only because it works since you're my Yavama, then forget it. The chalitza completely ruined that, and there is no way for you to aser her afterwards once you actually did chalitza. Okay, excellent. We will get into the specific dinim tomorrow of variations of concepts where you are doing a kinyan, but you're doing it in the wrong context. Where over here you would have thought mamar and kedushin are basically the same thing. What's the difference of the context that you announce it in? That we're going to see is a major issue, even in other kinyanim. How contextual is a kinyan? Which is a general question, not only nogea yevamos.